Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What we are focused on is not the changing of the regime. Okay, that's up to the Iranian people if they want to do that, but that's not what we're focused on.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio over the weekend, and we are in the midst of some sort of conflict. Don't know just how much deeper this is going to go, but we do know that over the weekend, the United States conducted airstrikes on 3 nuclear facilities in Iran, and now it's about what happens next, and the world is wondering what happens next. So to talk about what's going on the ground in the moment, CBS reporter Steve Lindy from Jerusalem joins us here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Steve, we appreciate your time today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
So what is the feeling in Jerusalem today? Because there are a number of countries with heavy interest in what's happening now and what is going to happen in the weeks to come.
Well, it's quiet in Jerusalem at the moment, although there were Iranian missile strikes earlier in the day. We're expecting daily missile strikes now ever since the war started here on last Friday. But I think if you're talking about what's next, I think the Iranians are probably going to retaliate in some way against America for the very successful strikes against its nuclear facilities, as you mentioned.
When you look at what the potential retaliation capabilities of Iran could be, what are they? Are we looking at like isolated, terror incidents versus a larger scale retaliation?
Well, again, I think the message has been conveyed to Iran that they should not go all out in their retaliation by a number of parties, including Russia and some of its other allies who would like to see an end to this conflict. Mm-hmm. But the potential targets include, U.S. military bases, diplomatic missions, cyber attacks, and allied forces, U.S. allies in the region. But the United States has evacuated some Americans from Israel and the region. At least 79 were flown out, and as flights resumed from Israel today, even though you can only put 50 people per flight due to the regulations of the Israeli government. So it's anybody's guess. I don't want to be, I don't want to be the doomsday journalist here, but I think everyone needs to be on the alert for possible Iranian retaliation against American targets.
Going back to what you said, referencing Iranian allies like Russia or China, right now, are they backing down? Like, they're not coming up to rally behind Iran right now. Are they kind of separating themselves from this?
I think so. I think they're also trying to play a mediating role to end this war. And I think the Americans and the Israelis are ready for some kind of diplomatic solution if Iran is prepared, to come back to the negotiating table. But whether this takes a few days or a few weeks is anybody's guess.
Visiting with Steve Lindy, CBS reporter in Jerusalem right now, and we played right at the beginning Marco Rubio, who was on Face the Nation on CBS yesterday, and saying that this is not about regime change. Pete Hegseth in a press conference said the same thing, essentially, but President Trump has sort of indicated otherwise, that maybe there should be a regime change. We have the feeling that's what Israel wants, that they want a different regime to take over. But what is what does it appear to you as the end game here?
I think the end game from Israel's point of view is, in fact, a regime change. The Khamenei regime in Iran has proved to be very anti-Israel to the point that it wants to destroy the Jewish state. So I think from Israel's point of view, a regime change of the Iranian people could somehow overthrow him would be ideal. I think President Trump hinted at this and then sort of backtracked, as did Secretary Rubio. But in the end, if the current Iranian regime stays in power, it's kind of like Hamas staying in power in Gaza. So from Israel's point of view, it would be a much better end game to have the Iranian regime toppled, although how that's going to be achieved is anyone's guess.
How much do we really know about how the Iranian people feel about that current regime? I imagine it's not monolithic, that there are different viewpoints on that.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously haven't done any kind of survey of Iranians, but from the Iranians I've spoken to here in Israel, Iran and Israel used to be really good friends, and the Iranian people and the Israeli people used to be very close under the Shah. So we assume that many Iranians are, you know, quietly pleased about this. Israel, for example, bombed some symbolic targets today, including the infamous Evin prison and the countdown clock to the destruction of Israel. So we think, again, we don't know, that the Iranian people would like to see a change in their regime. But of course, that's up to them, not up to Israel.
Yeah. And even before this happened, especially several years ago, you saw a rise in protest in Iran, which is profoundly brave considering protesters can be tortured or killed. When a young woman was killed, I think her hair was uncovered. She didn't follow the hijabi law, and the morality police killed her or imprisoned her. And there were protests against that because inflation is high, unemployment is very high. People feel oppressed. A lot of people were feeling oppressed under this regime that's spending, you know, billions of dollars on terror or on nuclear war. So we saw some protests bubble up even before this current conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, these are all signs that there could be some kind of uprising in Iran. And I know that there are unconfirmed reports that Khamenei, the supreme leader, has even appointed other people who could take his place in the event that he's assassinated. And perhaps there's also some kind of Iranian opposition movement that is ready to take over if necessary, just as there was in Syria. But again, I don't really know. We were just reading foreign reports about it.
What appears to be the, of course, Israel would like a regime change there, and I think a lot of nations around the world would feel exactly the same way about that. There are some who might get behind that regime and might get behind Iran, whether it's Russia, North Korea, China, a combination of all of them. What is the level of concern that maybe those three powers will also, really put their support behind them? Or do you think there's going to be sort of a feeling out process where maybe they don't want to get too involved just yet?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in that comment. I think there is a feeling out process going on now, and I think that Russia and China and others who are supporting Iran have been very careful to sort of stay out, sit on the sidelines, if you like, and watch this happening, urging the sides to end the violence and to come to the negotiating table. But, I think that it's just a matter of days when there will be an international move at the United Nations and elsewhere to find a diplomatic solution to end this war.
There has been speculation that Iran might retaliate for the U.S. strikes by closing the Strait of Hormuz, which is an important shipping lane in the Gulf. It would have consequences. Do we know if that were closed on international trade, on oil prices, all of that? Is there any more? Are there any more details on that shipping lane right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems that Iran has, in fact, closed the Strait of Hormuz for now. I don't know how long that can last. I mean, it is a very strategic waterway. It's crucial for oil transport, and Iran can also disrupt shipping, and that could also be an indirect attack on the U.S. economy, if you like. But I don't think it can sustain itself for a very long time. I mean, it's really crucial for not only Iran's economy, but for the economy of the entire region. So I have a feeling that that is just one of the cards that Iran is using, if necessary, if a negotiated settlement cannot be reached to end this war.
Steve, before we let you go, I know you're in Jerusalem. Right now, the update on travel, I know you mentioned that they're evacuating some Americans. Is Ben-Gurion Airport closed right now and flights, all flights canceled, or where are we with that?
Well, all flights were, in fact, canceled until today, Okay. Today being Monday, and Israel is allowing, as I say, restricted flights to leave, to take foreigners, and there's at least 30 or 40,000 tourists in Israel, including many Americans, and the U.S. Embassy staff and other families from the U.S. Embassy have been evacuated already. So flights are being allowed to fly out today, and they're going to fly Israelis from abroad back into Israel. So there's a couple of 100,000, if not more, Israelis waiting to fly back to Israel. So, yes, from today, there are flights, although not regular flights, and only 50 people at a time.
And I do have one more thing. I know we talked about retaliation and what could possibly come, but we know that a lot of missiles have been coming the way of Israel over the last couple of weeks. Do they still feel like they are equipped enough to withhandle or, you know, to withstand any other attacks that come their way? Do they feel like their reserves have been depleted? What is the situation militarily there?
I think Israel has at least it claims it has destroyed at least three quarters of the Iranian missile launches. So their capacity has definitely been depleted, and we're seeing fewer and fewer missile barrages at Israel. The last one was just, you know, one missile fired at Israel. In the beginning, there were, you know, dozens, altogether 500 missiles have been launched at Israel, and one missile can cause a lot of damage. I saw, for example, in the town of Bat Yam, it looks like Gaza. One missile destroyed something like 75 buildings and killed 9 people. So, you know, missiles can cause a lot of damage, and if Israel didn't have Iron Dome and all these other defensive missile interceptors, there would be so much more damage and casualties.
Steve Lindy, reporting for CBS from Jerusalem. We do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.
That is Steve Lindy on the ground over in a region that is in heavy conflict now. And it's just now a matter of what happens next. And we're looking forward to talking to General Mark Hertling, retired Lieutenant General, St. Louisan, as you all know, CBC grad. Throughout first pitch at a Cardinals game last year. Well, Mark Hertling.
The highlight of his long and storied career.
You know what? He's a big Cardinals guy. We could even talk about the big series against the Cubs. But looking forward to getting his perspective on what is going to happen next. He joins us at 11:30. It's Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. Continue to tell us about your favorite Cardinals-Cubs rivalry memory. Let us know on the Odyssey app by leaving a message or calling or texting 314-436-7900. It's 104.1 FM KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We have asked you to let us know about your favorite Cardinals-Cubs rivalry memory. And this isn't exactly what we were looking for, but it is a memory from a listener.
Okay.
314-436-7900. He's calling it his worst nightmare.
Oh.
It's not his best memory, but it is his worst nightmare.
Okay.
Tavern night at Old Bush. First of all, I need to know what Tavern Night was. Was that some sort of beer promotion that they used to do?
Like it.
Somebody who knows about Tavern Night at Busch Stadium, let us know. Anyway, Tavern Night at Old Busch, hammered, and my brother had to find me. I was on the floor in the men's bathroom. Ew. Thank goodness the game went into extra innings.
Ew.
Amy, have been into a public restroom, mm-hmm. like a ball game or mm-hmm. whatever, and seen somebody passed out on the floor?
No.
Never once?
No. It must happen more in the men's room than in the ladies' room.
It does happen in the ladies' room, I'm told, but it absolutely happens in the men's room.
I've been to a lot of hockey games, baseball games, and football games in my life. We used to go to all of them, and no, I've never seen that.
I need to know if Tavern Night was like just some insane, outrageous promotion, kind of like when the Cleveland Indians mm-hmm. did the 10-cent beer night.
Yeah, that's why you can't have nice things.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it was an app, like people were bringing fireworks. There were running onto the field. There was a riot.
Speaking of getting sloshed and being an alcoholic, Matt Pajeski,
what?
our beloved producer, you made out like a bandit, right? From your grandma's house or something?
I thought I did. So my great aunt passed away about a year ago. Oh. And my family went to her house for the estate sale. And I inherited a bunch of unopened liquor. I'm going to say probably 30 to 40 bottles
Whoa.
Worth.
Whoa. Mm,
that's nice.
And I thought I was going to be set for, you know, the next month. No, a couple years or so. So I had my buddy come over, and I said, let's line them all up. Let's do little taste testings. Let's see what we like the most. There's probably 20 bottles of wine, 20 scotches, and I don't know anything about wine or scotch, but I want to taste test all these with him. We open up a few, and just right off the bat, you open up the cork and you take a whiff. Oh, it's bad. Like, gross. Really bad.
So this is just the wine, though.
It's everything.
Everything is bad.
The scotch was not, you couldn't tell by the smell right off the bat, but then you took a sip of it, and the scotch was like pure rubbing alcohol. The wine, you'd pour it out into a glass, it kind of started off brownish. It's like a brownish red, and it smelled like straight up vinegar.
Dude.
It was horrible. And the worst was sherry, which I don't know if that's even drinking wine or if it's cooking wine.
You can sip sherry.
Okay. Well, I would not sip this. It was the most pungent smell I've ever, it was just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Oh. And so I ended up pouring most of these down the sink. And then my sink started to stink. So I lathered up a sponge with dish soap and just scrubbed the whole sink down because the kitchen was just starting to reek of like apple cider vinegar.
Oh, gross.
It was bad.
How many bottles did you pour down the sink?
Probably 30.
Ew.
Oh, my gosh.
And that some of these, sucks. I didn't want to get rid of all of them. Like, let me have a sip. Like, oh, that's bad. Let me try another sip just to really make sure. So I drank quite a bit of it.
Did you feel sick that night?
I started to feel sick. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I put an end to that.
Oh. Ugh.
One of the bottles of scotch had a little label on it that said 1974 on it. And the scotch was 6 years aged at that time. So probably it was more like 1968.
But you can't, like, I know alcohol, they age it, but once it's in the bottle, I mean, you have to be very careful with how you store it in order for it to be okay.
I don't think this was stored properly.
No.
Yeah, I know that there are not all whiskeys or wines are made to be kept forever. Like, they do need to be consumed within a certain amount of years. And I actually, right now, I have a bunch of whiskeys and bourbons that I just don't, I don't know, like, I don't, I'm not a person who drinks at home by myself.
Yeah.
I don't like to have a glass. I'm just not like that. I am a social beverager. And I feel like some of this stuff may not be good anymore, but
well,
I haven't tested it out.
Here's the thing. There's a reason why people who do collect wine and have fine wine collections and so forth have cellars. They either have a wine cooler or they have a wine cellar in the basement because you can't just stick it in a kitchen cabinet. It's not going to stay drinkable.
A lot of my bourbon has been sitting in like a shelf that's kind of in, it's like one big open space, and there's a there's not direct sunlight that comes in, but there's light. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fairly bright room. So I'm wondering if my booze is bad.
Take a sniff.
It's bad.
Waft it.
It's bad booze. It has
it's been
to
like,
be.
A lot of it's been like 5 years,
yep.
4 or 5 years.
I bet it's gross. You can't, sunlight's so bad for booze.
But it's not direct sunlight.
But it's a bright room.
Yeah.
I think unless it's in a cellar, I think you're in trouble.
We'll find out. If anybody knows anything about booze, text us. 314-436-7900.
Oh, man. Poor Matt. 30 bottles of booze he had to dump.
What a waste.
No.
And he had a stomach ache.
Not a waste. No, nobody should have drunk that ever.
You should be like that guy who has a YouTube channel where he just eats old military rations. Like 100-year-old.
Well,
he's got one from World War One. Yeah.
That guy that was eating old food.
Yeah.
From like 100 years ago.
You should have tried it.
I had quite a few sips, and that's when I started feeling sick. I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
Makes my teeth hurt.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're still with us, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. As we mentioned, we are going to talk to St. Louisan, former, now retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling. We'll get his take on what happened in Iran with the U.S. from a military perspective. That is next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. We've talked a bit about the U.S. strikes on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend, and joining us now to give some more insight into that situation and what it could mean moving forward is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, also a St. Louis native, friend of the show. Mark, General Hertling, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Amy, it is always good to be with you, even in troubling times. Happy to talk with you about this subject.
No, especially so, for sure, in your experience, wisdom regarding what we're seeing now with the conflict with Iran, the United States getting involved over the weekend. I guess, first of all, just your overview, your thoughts about what's happening right now.
Oh, wow. Well, first, I mean, it's always good to start with geography. Amy, and I hate to bore you with this, but let's talk about the nation that's involved, and that's Iran. Iran is about four times the size of Texas. It has a population of about 90 million plus people. It is a very diverse country in terms of a percentage of the population supports the religious extremists that are the current leaders, but a larger percent of the population supports a moderate government that is not in power and keeps getting pushed down. And then there's a sort of a great unwashed middle who are afraid to do anything. It's a large country. These facilities that were bombed over the weekend are right in the mountain ranges south of the capital city of Tehran, which is in the very northern part of the country near the Caspian Sea. And it was an interesting strike. It's something that the state of Israel and especially Prime Minister Netanyahu has been wanting to do probably for at least the last 15 years. And there have been various efforts to reduce the capability of Iran to come up with a nuclear weapon. Iran says that they are using most of the uranium for civilian purposes, that is energy. But intelligence sources seem to indicate that they have desires beyond doing that and wanting to make a nuclear weapon. The last thing that I will say before getting off this particular subject is the leaders of the Iranian extremist government have said repeatedly that one of their nation's objectives is to destroy the state of Israel and to counter the great Satan, which is us. So there is an intent, I think, when you're a member of the Israeli government to say, hey, if there's a country out there that's looking to utterly destroy us, we've got to defend ourselves and deter their actions from doing the same thing that Hitler tried to do with the Jews during World War II. So that's kind of the background and the scenario. It's interesting. One last thing I'll mention, Amy, back when I was a young major 100 years ago, attending the Command and General Staff College in the School of Advanced Military Studies in Kansas, we did an exercise back in the mid-1980s against a fictional country that looked a lot like Iran. And what I will tell you from a military perspective, it is an extremely challenging nation to go to war with. So the actions this weekend of bombing a couple of sites that are deeply buried underground facilities was a pretty bold move. But there was the feeling that it was because of what's been happening between Israel and Iran the last 2 years since the October 7th attack against Israel, that this was the right time to do it. I'm not sure I'm in complete agreement with that, but that's what our politicians have decided to do.
So I want to talk more about that and the implications and, you know, maybe if there would have been a better time or you know, down that path. But I do want to go back to the beginning of this from the military perspective, because these planes took off from Missouri, from the Whiteman base, which is outside Kansas City. They flew all the way there. They used Boeing bunker bombs. You know, they're made by the Boeing company. I don't think we know exactly what location they are made in. That might be classified or something. But so they fly all the way there. They do this and they just come right back. They refuel on the way, of course. Just from a logistics perspective, how does something like that even happen? It seems impossible that you would have pilots fly from the middle of the country all the way across that ocean, do that, and then come right back.
Yeah, it's a long trip, about 36 hours both ways, to include action in the middle where you're dropping bombs in a very precarious situation under what would be considered enemy territory. That's a long mission. But these folks who fly, the men and women who support those B-2 bombers and the men and women who fly them, are pretty good at their job. They are part of the strategic triangle of bombers, submarines, and rockets that are part of our nuclear force. That's the triad. So they're very well trained. They are some of the very best of the best to fly that big honking piece of machinery. I've actually been in one of those B-2s when I was a brigadier general and we were getting an orientation. And it's fascinating that it, you know, the cockpit looks just like a regular airplane cockpit, but right behind there's a toilet and there's a microwave and a small kitchen and a place where one of the two people who are manning that aircraft can take a nap while the other one continues to fly. So it is a lot like an airline trip, but anytime you're talking about Air Force pilots doing their thing in combat, there's always a stress level that's pretty high. You know, these pilots don't have to wear I'll use the affectionate term of piddle packs, which are diapers when like the fighter pilots do, but it's not a comfortable trip, that's for sure. But having said that, Chris, you also have to consider the submariners who also launched Tomahawk cruise missiles at the targets. And they are also part of a critically important force, also part of the nuclear triad. But in this case, they were launching, in both cases, conventional weapons.
General Hertling, and I don't know if you know this, and I feel silly asking the question in this way, but very much a civilian here.
Well, not as silly as I just felt saying the word piddle pack. So go ahead, Amy.
You prefaced it with affectionately. So I had read that the way these bunker busters were dropped or the way they targeted the nuclear sites was through some kind of like air shaft or ventilation shaft. And of course, having seen like Top Gun Maverick or even Star Wars, where it's some kind of shaft. Am I ridiculous in thinking that it really was something kind of like that, where you're hitting that weak point?
It was a lot like Top Gun Maverick, except tougher. And what I mean by that, recalling the movie, I think old Tom had to launch a missile at something that was buried but not deeply buried, mm-hmm. and hit a target in a very unique place. Well, these bunker busters, or MOPs as they're called, maximum penetrators, are built to specifically go through either concrete or underground material, you know, rock formations, granite, things like that, for a distance of up to about 90 feet. So it will penetrate granite, concrete, to get to the point where it will eventually explode, but only after drilling through that hard target. That's even tougher
yeah.
than what Tom Cruise did in the movie. But there is also the requirement to not just hit one target, but it's the anticipated striking of a large facility that's basically buried under about 90 feet of granite with some reinforced concrete around it, and destroy things like centrifuges and uranium refinement capabilities. So, and oh, by the way, you don't know where they are. You have kind of an idea of what the facility looks like under that 90 feet of granite, but you're not 100% sure. That's why I think, you know, and again, I'm not an Air Force targeteer, but I think that's why they use the air shafts in order to get deeper penetration, but also ensure that they get inside of a facility. And you got to remember too that the warhead on these bombs, it's you know, to use the colloquial expression, it's enough to spill your coffee and then some. You know, it,
wow.
it will explode larger than any kind of explosion most normal human beings ever get to see in either a movie or in real life.
So the president said that these facilities were completely obliterated. The word he used was obliterated. Is it possible to know that right now? And what is the likelihood that they are all obliterated and their capabilities are nothing at the moment?
Well, you know, Chris, it's a great question because, yes, you can tell that the bombs hit and there were effects from those bombs hitting. What we don't know is what was in the facilities, number one. And yeah, I don't think the president actually said the facilities were obliterated. I think the president said something like we have obliterated their capabilities, mm-hmm. which is a whole different statement. You can say, hey, we dropped the bomb, we hit what we aimed at, it destroyed something underground, but we don't know the extent of that destruction, and we don't know if that destruction included the kinds of things we were going after, specifically the enriched uranium and the capability of further enriching it. So you can take a guess on that, but it takes something called BDA, bomb damage assessment, to get into the place or find intelligence about the place that will give you a better idea of exactly what was there and what destruction was caused. I would never use the term obliterated when we're talking about a military target. The president did. That's not part of the military lexicon. You either destroy it or you defeat it. Defeat meaning that you can't put it together real quickly after it's been broken. Destroying means there's nothing left. I would not say that we have any indication of whether or not the target was destroyed or even defeated.
General Hertling, when it comes to strategy, like you said, we have wait and see now what the response is after the U.S. took those actions over the weekend. But I wanted to ask you about the strategy because when you are dealing with Iran, the regime in Iran, which, you know, their policy is death to America. Their policy is death to Israel. As you
right.
mentioned, you know, the great Satan, the countdown clock to killing Israel or defeating Israel. Death isn't necessarily a deterrent to a radical ideology as the same way it was in the Cold War where you had mutually assured destruction. How is the strategy when you are approaching a regime like Iran complicated by the fact that it's so ideological?
Well, you certainly have to factor that in, the ideology of the leaders of this extreme Shia cult of the Muslim faith. But what I'd also say is they also have a lot of things in their kit bag. And what I mean by that is You know, the folks that work with Iran say they have three major elements to strike back. They have missiles, they have their militias throughout the Middle East, and they have terrorists throughout the world. I would add a whole lot more to that, having studied the Iranian military and their government. They also have the capability to do cyber attacks. They have the ability to strike at various locations, although that ability has been denigrated by the kinds of things that Israel has been doing to them over the last couple of weeks in terms of destroying their air force and their some of their missile launch systems, as well as decapitating some of their key leaders in their military and their government. But they still have the ability to fight back. And you also have to understand the context is they see what is happening to them right now as an existential threat, which means their existence is being threatened from others, the Israelis, the United States, and perhaps others within the region. So they're going to fight hard. The ideology of an extreme religious government is also something to be factored in. And there are certainly some who will, how do I want to put it, who will die for their country very easily and will say, I'm going to make myself a martyr, like I saw in Iraq with some of the extreme religious fanatics. But truthfully, in many cases, when it comes down to it, there's no human being on earth that really wants to die. There are some that will give up their lives, and there seems to be a lot more in some of these religious cults. But I think that factors in. But the more important part is what are the normal citizens in Iran doing right now? How are they persuading their government or influencing their government to do one thing or another? That's, you know, my take is most of the Iranians I have met who are not in the Iranian government, who are immigrants or have left their country, are really pretty good people and smart people, like every culture throughout the world. They're not all evil religious fanatics. So that's a consideration that you have to put into your context whenever you go to war.
Retired Lieutenant General Mark Hertling of the United States Army, as always, we appreciate you being with us, and we could talk another hour or so about this stuff, and it's, you know, it's all very interesting, and we thank you for giving us your time today.
You got it, Chris, and best to both of you, okay?
Thank you.
You too. That is Mark Hertling, retired U.S. Army general, with us here on KMOX, CBC grad, Cardinals fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he will be watching tonight, unless he's got important stuff to do, in which case he will not be. We've got just a little bit more to go. The Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. Tom Ackerman and me, we will be getting you ready for Cardinals-Cubs at Busch Stadium tonight. And we have a pair of tickets. No, take that back. Four-pack of tickets to give away for the game tomorrow against the Cubs. You got to be listening for your chance to win on 104.1 FM KMOX. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM. We have been asking you for your favorite Cardinals Cubs memories today, and also your cringiest moments. And we got there because of that attorney who accidentally called the judge honey in the middle of court, which is awesome.
I would die.
Here's Karen, who left a voice message on the Odyssey app.
This is both a cringy moment and a Cardinals Cubs memory.
Oh.
I was coming home from a game in Chicago on a train, and I had to use the facilities. So I go in the bathroom, doing my business, and I failed to lock the door. And of course, the train hit a bump, and the door flew open, and there I am, and there was a bunch of drunk college kids, I'm assuming. And of course, they all laughed at me and had a good old time. And then I had to walk past them when I left the bathroom. So that's what I always remember about going to a Cardinals Cubs game.
Let me tell you something.
Thank you.
You ever been on the
message.
Amtrak?
Oh.
That sliding door
yeah.
on the bathroom. And the bathrooms are, I think all of them are big enough to fit like a wheelchair because they're big,
mm-hmm.
right? And that door is kind of hard to navigate. the older doors, and when they open, they will. Oh, man, you are exposed. You're out there.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Oh, that poor lady. What a great voice message.
I am so glad that happened to Karen.
Aw.
And she learned a lesson.
What was the lesson?
Close the door and lock it.
I think she tried. Maybe Amtrak should learn a lesson. Don't make
That's not Amtrak's fault.
Don't make your doors so difficult to
That is Karen's
operate.
Fault for not locking the door. It's but very, very simple.
She thought it was locked.
It's awesome.
I fell out of a stall one time. I was in Deerbergs. I ran, and I went for a run, and I was sweaty, and I had to change clothes because I was going, I don't know, straight from the run to somewhere else. So I was changing in the bathroom stall at Deerbergs, and when I was taking my skivvies off, I got my foot stuck, and I hit the door, and it unlocked the door, and I fell through the stall. Butt naked at a Deerbergs grocery store.
Anybody see you?
Yes, there was a lady in the
bathroom. How are you just now sharing that at the very end?
I forgot about it.
How do you forget about that?
Because it was years ago.
Dude, that'd be kind of thing I'd be thinking about all the time.
No, there have been other butt exposure episodes where that is just put on the pile.
All right, Amy.
It happens.
Okay, we got to go. Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Ranji. Anything you missed, Odyssey app. We're back with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow. My God. Next, Gas House Gang. Tom Ackerman and I, we will talk Cardinals baseball with you. They take on the Cubs tonight, and we got a four-pack of tickets to give away to see the game tomorrow at Busch. Gas House Gang next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.